League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two here on this holiday show where we expose the NFL for the fraud that it is, okay? On a daily basis, we are not going to put up. We're not going to put up with anything less than pure transparency, which the NFL ain't about. It ain't about that life, okay? 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776 the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros and Rangers tonight, McCullers and Leiter. I'm a little worried about it, but you know what? We want to talk about some good pitching matchups. Framber and DeGrom, and then Hunter versus Eovaldi. So this is, I don't know how are the Rangers this crappy. Their offense sucks, though. Of course, it seems like the Astros will wake up in offense, won't they? I'm sorry. Just this Cleveland series is still sticking in my craw a little bit, but maybe it's that it's the Rangers and the rivalry that'll wake up because Cleveland comes in. It's just Cleveland. It's meh. Cleveland is just meh. Who cares, right? But the Rangers are coming in now. You know, of course they did sweep us at home when the playoffs.
Silver boot on the line.
Yeah, you're what? The silver boot is on the line. You're right. You're damn right.
Silver boot's on the line. Yeah. When that happens, man, it reminds me of Michigan, Ohio State, and Texas, and Oklahoma, and Clemson, South Carolina, and you got Miami versus whoever is the good guys, and then you've got silver boot.
Yeah, yeah. Greatest rivalries in sports, silver boot. Yep, yep. Thank you.
Amen Thompson versus Tyler Hero.
Oh, that's not even a whatever.
Scott Service versus anybody.
It's not a rivalry when one guy dominates.
Scott Service versus whoever he wants to fight.
Screw Scott Service. He's done. Beat it.
By the way, so you asked a question earlier. So MLB on Fox had this all-time Astros list that did cause a little bit of discussion. Online, I just kind of just threw out Justin Verlander as the pitcher. Verlander was with the Astros from 17, pretty much 17 to 24. I mean, he left and then came back. So
he also missed a lot of two
he
years.
Did miss 2 years, but I just kind of threw him out there. I didn't have Nolan Ryan because Nolan Ryan wasn't even the best pitcher on the staff. It was Mike Scott. Now Nolan Ryan was there in 80 and. I mean, Nolan had some great stats. He just couldn't get wins. Mike Scott won a Cy Young. He was a dead, he was a ball scuffer, but whatever. But he wasn't like an all-time great. He had an all-time great year. But should I have put Roger, should we have had more of a discussion about Astros all-time pitcher? Are we sure Roy Oswalt isn't that? And then where does Roger Clemens fit in there? And, Roy was a lifer with the Astros. So I feel like Roy probably should be the pick because Roy was an Astro. I mean, that's, came up. Roy was tried and true, born and bred Astro. Justin Verlander came over to the Astros, but he won two Cys with the Astros, and he won, a couple World Series with the Astros. Roger Clemens got to a World Series. I think Roger won a Cy with us, right?
Did Roger win a Cy with the Astros?
I mean, Roger was really good with the Astros.
So. Yeah, I think he did.
I don't know who I would make the all-time. I don't know who I would make the all-time Astros pitcher.
Well, Roy,
I think you.
Roy pitched for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Roy pitched for 11 years here?
Yeah, long time.
Yeah. 2, 4, 6, 8. No, the better part of 9 seasons he pitched here.
So, Roy?
Yeah. I mean, Verlander was here, but he missed a couple of years, too.
He missed 20 and 21, and then 22, 23, 20, you know, I guess we'll call it 24, right? I guess. I mean, he was really more like 5.5 years of pitching, but when he did, he was really, really good. But should that supersede a guy who was, you know, came up from the system? If all things are equal, I mean, they're not quite equal, but Roy was a dominant number one for the Houston
Roger
Astros.
Roger was only here 3 years.
Yeah, it can't be Rog.
Can't be Roger. Can't be. No way. I mean, not 3 years worth. Did he win a Cy here? I got to look at Baseball Reference. I forget. Probably did. But I think it's Roy. I think it is.
Yeah, I think it has to be Roy. Even though Justin was more accomplished, Roy didn't have as much around him, and Roy was a dominant pitcher. Was it Roy that got beat in the games? Roy was the one who came in and handled business to get to the World Series, right? After the home run was given up and everyone started to cry loudly and scream, right, when it absolutely ruined
Bradledge.
The closer's name. Yeah, Bradledge. Ruined Bradledge.
When you say everyone, are you talking about yourself as well?
I was upset, but the next day on the radio, I remember saying, and that would have been on 610, I said, we were at Wildcat Golf Club. The next day, we were doing a broadcast from there, and I kind of in the middle of it, we were all devastated. And I said, you know what? What are we doing? I remember saying, what are we doing? We got Roy on the mound. This is just, we're going to win. This is just going to be a little footnote. We're going to win. We're going to get to the World Series. And Roy shut it down.
Yeah, but it turned out it really killed him because, you know, using, as opposed to pitching Roy in game one. And I talked to Andy Pettit after I hosted his golf tournament right after. He was like, my arm was going to fall off. I could have used the extra time off. He said, all of us were beat. And that extra game that they had to play against St. Louis really affected them.
I mean, but they couldn't hit anyway, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, they didn't hit. They didn't hit in the post. They didn't.
How were they going to score?
That was that era. All the postseasons that they got to, and they just gagged every year offensively.
Yeah, they did, and they only had a certain amount of hitters on the team, and except in '98 where they seemed like they were. You know, that was a disappointing year. But these Astros wiped all of that away. Like, I don't even think about that anymore. I remember it, but I don't think about it because these Astros wiped all that away because they were super clutch. And they're still playing clutch. And they got guys like Kevin Rumperstein and Blake Himmel and Cooper Crumpstall and all these guys. And I don't even know who they are. And they'll be gone. And Zach Little. And they're just... They all get hits, and then they win, and then they disappear.
Yeah, Roger won a Cy in 2004 with the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, but he only pitched here 3 years. You can't put him as the greatest. Is it the greatest pitcher to ever pitch for the Astros or the greatest Astros pitcher? Because there's a difference.
I think it's greatest Astros pitcher is
greatest
how I
Astros
look at
pitcher,
it.
And that would be Roy. I mean, if J.R. Richard didn't.
You know. Now, I think that you could make that. Now, Justin played long. Verlander played long enough that I think
he could throw him in the conversation. Yeah, but he didn't actually pitch for a couple of those years.
Well, that was the problem. That two of the years, he didn't pitch.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
I mean, he did have a no-hitter. Won two World Series and two Cy Youngs. I mean, he did a lot when he was here. When he did pitch, there a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah. Roy actually led the league in war one of his years. He was really, really good.
Did Verlander ever get a hit as an Astro? No. Did Roy? Yes.
Yes. Roy was a decent hitter.
Roy was actually a decent hitter.
Yeah. Yep. So who's the best hitting pitcher ever for the Astros? Not even close.
Zach Greinke. Did you see the video that came out the other day?
Mike Hampton was
a really good one.
He ain't Zach Greinke good.
Well, what did Zach hit with? Well, wait a minute. It's not like we had Zach Greinke when we were in the American League. It's not like Greinke got a lot of ABs. When he did, he was dangerous. Did you see that video the other day where they showed Greinke going yard twice in a game?
Yeah. But it ain't about that. Even if he doesn't bat, he's still the greatest Astros hitting pitcher. Even if they had a DH.
Yeah, but doesn't that kind of – but if he never hits for you, how can he be the best?
He still was the greatest Astros hitting pitcher because he's probably the greatest hitting pitcher other than Babe Ruth and Shohei Ohtani.
Well, I guess Verlander's the greatest Astros pitcher then.
Yeah, could be. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here on this holiday show, you're more than welcome. Right now, we're talking about Craig DeCerf.
Yeah, we're talking about an opportunity to go get that TurboMax engine with the there's two trucks that I want to spotlight, the Chevy Silverado and the GMC Sierra pickup truck. Now, I typically will just tell you about one or the other, but I want to make sure that you know that when it comes to trucks, Craig DeCerf and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they're going to do everything in their power to make you happy. I know this for a fact because my wife, who gets very particular about cars, she doesn't like change. She doesn't like change. So she went from... from the Traverse, and we ended up getting the Equinox. And she said, well, I want this type of interior. And it was a little difficult to find, but Craig and his staff found the interior, brought it over from another dealership, and she is very happy with that. You know, the same thing's true with these trucks. If you're looking for something that they can add aftermarket to the truck, if you're looking for something that the truck has now, they'll scour the market. They'll scour the dealerships around the area to find exactly what you're looking for and make sure that they bring it in. They've got tremendous finance rates for well-qualified buyers going on right now and dealer incentives to pair with that. So if you're looking for an incredible truck right now at great prices from a staff that is going to treat you like a family member, nobody does it like Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Nobody. They're in Angleton, and they're waiting for you to stop on them. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Happy birthday, Sofia Vergara, 53 today. She and Tom Brady doing stuff. All right. Oh, allegedly. Allegedly. How about week one? How about this? Week one of college football. Texas at Ohio State, Alabama at Florida State. I don't know how good that'll be. LSU at Clemson, Notre Dame at the U. What's your game?
You said Alabama at Florida State?
Yeah.
I just don't know how good Florida State's going to be this year.
That's what I'm saying.
Notre Dame at the U is probably the game, I think.
No. Well, Texas,
what's
Ohio
better?
State, goodness gracious.
Arches. Oh, no, Texas, Ohio State. So there was a little discussion about that yesterday at the O-Line Mastermind Clinic that I'm up here at yesterday. And the discussion was about how many players Ohio State has lost and whether or not Texas can come in there and just do a number on Ohio State. But just, I don't know, with transfer. I'm not keeping up with transfer portal rankings and all that stuff, but something tells me Ohio State's going to be just fine in terms of talent.
Yeah. Yeah, they just reload, bro.
When do they fall off? Like, when does Ohio State – they may get beat by Michigan, but they never fall off. So I don't know. I don't know about that. The Arch Manning thing, we'll see how good Arch really is. I think we're going to see a lot more – I got a funny feeling we're going to see plenty of, like, some zone read stuff. I think they're going to really make use of Arch Manning's legs. I think that's, you know, I don't see him as a Quinn Ewers pocket passer. I think you're going to see him more of what he truly is, which is an athletic player who can, you know, who's got a chance to win with his legs and his arms. I think he's going to do plenty of running as a quarterback. He's a big boy, too.
Yeah. And you should. That's the way it should. You know what? I don't want him just sitting there back there throwing. You know, use your legs. It's college football. That's what you're supposed to do. The hype around this guy, though, is impossible. It's going to be impossible to live up to. It's going to be impossible.
So I'm up in Dallas at so you know where we're doing the after this I'm going to run over to the second day of O-line Masterminds, and it's Lane Johnson and Duke Mannyweather put this together, and we have, you know, it's an incredible group of linemen and offensive line coaches and college offensive linemen come to this thing, and so I wanted to make sure my son, who is at Alabama doing recruiting, and he works specifically with the O-line coach, I wanted him to come, and I got to meet Jaden Proctor, who is their offensive tackle at Alabama. He is massive, just huge. And then Booker, the new guard for the Dallas Cowboys, who's the 12th pick of the draft, is here. But we were at COSM. I don't know how it's pronounced. COSM, COSM. Have you seen, Dell, have you seen this at all? Or John, have you seen the videos or pictures about what this place is? It's the immersive... It's the immersive kind of dome where you can watch games. Have y'all seen the videos of these things?
No.
I can tell you that this could change how games are viewed, period. These things are absolute. I have never in my life, and I went over there, and they had it's an immersive. Okay, so it's like imagine one of those. You know, what's the movie theaters that you can go in that kind of has like a dome that you can watch it? Is that the IMAX, Dell?
I don't know the name of it.
You know what I'm talking about? Is that I think that's IMAX, right? Where you have the biggest, like you have the it kind of really extends upwards. And anyway, this thing goes all the way. It's like a 360. It's like 360 degrees, and they just had, it was like a look from a boat, really. And right. And you're coming up near the shoreline, and it's somewhere really beautiful. I don't know, Spain, Italy, whatever. And you can, and you've got this vantage point all the way left, all the way right, all the way above you. You feel like you're outside. It was incredible. Well, I've seen videos of people watching football games where they put you in the end zone where you're watching. I don't know how they do it, where you're watching a live game from the end zone. Then they can change the vantage point where you're up at like near the 50-yard line watching games. And it feels like you are actually at the game. And I know people aren't going to, they're going to say, nah, that's not going to feel like you're at the game. I swear on both of my dogs, you cannot believe how incredible this is. And they've got these, a few of these around the country, I think. I know there's one or two in Dallas, and I'm just hoping to get to Houston. It doesn't seat a lot of people, and so I think that they have, you know, I think that you have to rent them or you buy tickets for games. So I don't know how the game experience is, but it looks like it's absolutely lifelike. Whenever I saw it yesterday and I stepped in there and I was just watching scenes of nature or whatever that they had, it was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever experienced. So anyway, they're doing that over there. And I saw Tony Baselli. I said, hey, Tony lands early. He goes, hey, what's going on? So what are you doing? I know you do the draft stuff. You still do radio? I said, yeah, I'm still doing it with John. He's like, what? He goes, y'all are still doing that show? John's still doing a show? I said, yeah, Tony. I said, we made the Radio Hall of Fame, Tony. He goes, that's not. I said, he goes, congrats, but like, is that even a big deal? Like, if you guys are in, you know, so he's still busting balls. And then
Standards were lowered, let's face it.
Yeah, now listen, it's not the NFL Hall of Fame.
Right.
But, which Tony got into after playing 7 years. Yeah. I didn't say you played only 7 years and somehow got in, even though you never took a snap with the Texans. But so he's a bigwig. He went from the broadcast booth to he's like the right-hand man for James Gladstone, who's the new GM, who's in his 30s, who came over from the Rams because everyone's getting hired from the Rams. Everyone apparently starts in football when they're early 20s, and they all have the biggest jobs they'll ever have when they're in their 30s with the Rams, but other places. But anyway, Tony was, we were talking a little bit about the Texans stuff. He goes, you know, the team that we had with the expansion draft, he said, if I had been able to play, he said, you know, I think it would have made a difference. But we got to talking about David car. And he's just like, yeah, you know, he said, David is an awesome person. He goes, it was a little strange having his whole family at every practice. He said, and he said, and I had to, you know, even though I wasn't playing, I had to go over to Dave and say, hey, man, this really isn't how it's done in the NFL. And it just, things never changed. And it just, you know, he just didn't know what it took to be an NFL. David, and I told him, David admitted to me on an interview that he didn't know what it took to be an NFL quarterback until he was on his third team with the Giants. He said, not until he was with Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning did it click, like, oh, this is how I'm supposed to be preparing as an NFL quarterback. He had already been in Houston, in Carolina, and it wasn't until he got there. And I bring that up because we were having conversations about C.J. Stroud and, you know, different people. Like, I talked to just different people, but C.J. Stroud, a couple different people asked me about, hey, is he putting in the work? And I said, well, I mean, I can't tell you for sure, but I said, yeah, it sure feels like it. Like, it feels like, I know last year he was on podcasts or whatever, and you heard his name a lot more in the off season. But I don't think C.J. doesn't work. I think C.J. actually, I don't think anyone's accusing him of not working. I think C.J. works a lot. I think we really, really gets it. But seeing David Carr, who had talent, who was really a family man first and then a football player second, that just doesn't cut it. You got to be able to, it's best for your quarterback to be single, isn't it, John? Don't you think being a single quarterback is probably best?
I don't know. Then you're out on the hunt. Well, like Deshaun. Yeah, really? Was it great with that Deshaun was single?
And then what happened with Joe Burrow when he had his assistant come over? He got his place robbed, and he's always getting knee injuries.
Well, that had nothing to
do
with his play.
How is he hurting his knee?
His play
How
was
is he hurting
good.
His knee?
His play
yeah,
was
Yeah, but
actually
he keeps hurting
good.
His knee doing things.
Yeah. Oh, you think he was doing things because his knees were weak? That's what
no,
you think?
I'm just saying, maybe his knees got hurt when he was doing stuff.
Well,
if he were married, he wouldn't be doing stuff anymore.
Oh, man. Young married people still do stuff. You'll remember
Oh, that's
that.
Right, yeah.
Young married
Oh, that's
people.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Joe would still be doing stuff. Yeah, that's my bad.
Yep.
Joe would still be, he'd still be getting it in.
All right.
Figuratively.
Time to break. Time to talk Houston Potter Coaters. Time to talk about Robin. Time to talk about your knees with your I don't know what metal you got. I don't know what you got. You might have – the patio furniture is number one, right? But you may have a fence, a metal fence that you'd like to keep. If they can take it apart. If you're a business, they can come to you, okay, with your fences and whatnot. And that's something – hey, people, that's kind of a big deal, all right? You got a fence outside of your business, or let's say you got a restaurant with an outdoor patio, but your fence looks like crap – Houston Powder Coaters can come and fix it. He can make it look great. What about your patio furniture out there? It's worn from the weather. Houston Powder Coaters can fix that. I know that you've seen Houston Powder Coaters in action. You've gone to Westside Tennis Club. You've seen the Ferris wheel. You've gone to the Woodlands Waterways. You've gone to NRG Stadium. They've done work all over, okay, all over. There's very few places that Houston Powder Coaters hasn't touched. So you've seen the work. The workmanship is second to none. The primping and the priming, they make sure that every piece that comes out of there looks great. What do you want? What do you want to save? What do you want to keep? What is it that you have that's metal that Robin can help you with? Just go to HoustonPotterCoaters.com and see for yourself. She'll tell you whether or not you can save it or you got to buy new stuff. She's going to be honest with you. She ain't going to gouge you. She's going to give you a great price. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. That's HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
They're going to use a robo-ump in the All-Star game on Tuesday. So,
what?
Yeah. If you feel like you get two challenges. If you feel like the pitch was – but only the hitter, the catcher, and the pitcher can challenge it. So you can't look to the dugout and then go, okay. No, it's got to be immediate. You got to tap the top of your head immediately to check it out. So they're going to try it in the All-Star game, and you only get two challenges. You get more challenges if you're right. So so the problem with this is, can you trust players to do this right? If I'm a manager and the guy goes, no, I challenge that, and he blows it, and you only got two of them, you're like, dude, okay? And players do that all the time. You know, in a basketball where they go, you know, they always do this, the signal for a review, and coaches just go, play, just play, just play, okay? Stop already. I'm not using my review in the first 6 minutes of a game on a potential maybe foul, okay? So stop. Well, you know, players better be right when they're challenging this thing. Mm-hmm. The hitters are the
Are you okay with everything going? Like, Wimbledon hasn't been, I don't know. I mean, Wimbledon, they immediately get the calls. Now, they did have an interesting one where, I remember the female player this year where she actually challenged. She thought that the robo-ump, whatever it's called, that they use in the, for Wimbledon. Because now they do, it used to just be with service. Now it's literally every, they've eliminated every linesman. Nobody has a job anymore. But it's also crazy accurate. And I guess no one's complaining about it. Is this part of the charm of baseball? And I know the easy argument is no, everything should be. But, like, I don't know. There's a little bit of me that likes the fact that you can maybe have slight differences with a strike zone. And I know I'm going to be in the minority here. But I think it gives pitchers a chance to kind of expand and see, you know, hitters and pitchers an opportunity to try to – I don't know. I'm really having a hard time making an argument for it, but there's something about it that I don't mind. I don't mind that one umpire's strike zone may be a little more friendly on the lower portion or the outer portion. I'm not talking about Eric Gregg, some outlandish, you know, where you're 5 inches off the zone, they're still giving strikes. But for some reason, I don't mind that much if the strike zones have very small differences, as long as it's consistent.
Well, so there was a graphic that had the strike zone, the square strike zone, and one of the catchers, I think it was JT Realmuto said, listen, the art of framing is going to be lost with this thing.
Yes.
It's not going to be as big a deal because, and I hate that as a catcher. I like it. I like it as a hitter. But they put up a graphic of what an umpire strike zone is rounded as opposed to the square strike zone that robo-ump is. So it's a little bit different. It's a little bit wider and a little bit higher and lower, the umpire strike zone, than the strike zone that you got with the robo-ump. So that is going to be – well, but here's the thing is you only got a couple. And if you waste them, you got no more left. Just like your challenges – you got to win your challenges on the robo ump, and you got to win your challenges with all the other calls as well. So, I'll tell you, I'm kind of torn on it because I would like to see a real strike zone, but having it important because there's only two of them. You only get two of them unless you win yours. You retain it. I think is probably a good way to start this thing. They've been using it in AAA. They used it in spring training. So it's not like we don't know.
I don't know that I need it for every – I don't know if I need it for every pitch. I do like that there's pitch framing and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. That's – you know, it doesn't have to be absolutely antiseptic the entire time where everything's cut and dry. Not for me. I mean, you know, I used to freak out watching soccer, like, look at this guy walking down the sideline with the ball. He's not even standing still. You know what I'm talking about? When the ball is out and then the guy picks it up to throw it in and he walks about 9 yards forward and like, I know it's not traveling in soccer. What's he doing? It's not like it's going to matter. Like, he's not going to, now all of a sudden there's a huge advantage. They're going to score.
So it's not. But by the same token, just watching, I do like the fact that you can challenge. I like the idea of challenges. I love that idea. I also think it's okay to have umps, because I'm going to say something controversial, because I know everyone loves to blame the officials and the umpires and the refs for everything, right? They're the worst ever. They're terrible people, all that stuff. And they cause your team to lose nonstop. But I actually think baseball umps do a pretty good job now. Now that we have the strike zone that we see, yeah, we're going to always complain about the ones that are missed, especially if it's on a two-strike count to your pitcher, or if you get rung up on a third strike, your player does. But I think for the most part, now that we see the strike zone, I think the umpires do a pretty good job with the human eye. On the bang-bang plays, I think they do a pretty good job, relatively speaking.
Yeah, but every night we see strikes and balls. I mean, there was a Phillies game the other day, well, it's Phillies-Giants, where it was obvious that it was so biased toward the Giants. And the graphic was Terrible Umping or whatever website is, or Twitter handle is.
Well, there's one that just shows what their
umpire audit. They said, yeah. Oh my God, it was obvious that this ump wanted the Giants to win. How many missed calls he had, strikes he had versus the Giants. It was incredible.
Yeah, see, to me, you get rid of, to me, those guys should be held accountable, and they lose, you know, they get demoted or whatever the case may be. I think if you miss that, I think whatever the case may be, but I don't, you know, just like in football, in basketball, there's some refs who will let you play a little bit more and won't be quite as nitpicky. I think that's part of sports. Like, I'm okay with that. Now, Wimbledon, I actually don't have any problem. Look, there's lines. It's very definitive, in or out. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that being robo-umped. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, my wife is so, I mean, kind of getting to the AI and taking jobs and all this stuff. My wife, to this day, she's decided she won't go to self-scan anymore. She goes, number one, they're not paying me to do the work. So I'm going to have someone else doing it. Plus, I want these people to have jobs. So I'm going to go and make sure that I give them work, you know, that they're scanning. I'm going to stand in this line. And I said, well, you're a good person, because I'm trying to get out of there as fast as I can. So I'll just scan my own.
Right.
I'm not trying to stand in a line.
No, the man is trying to make us work, do the job for nothing, as opposed to paying people. That's what the man is trying to do.
Okay? I know.
Your wife is
thanks
right.
For your, what about this? You like this one? Okay, let me get going into places. I'm going to get the burger, cheese, mushrooms, and then fries and drink. Okay. Now, at a McDonald's, at a Whataburger, there's no, you pay and that's it. But if you go to a place that's more expensive, if you go to a Kraft Burger, what about when they flip, when it's the old, okay, and it's just one more question for you to answer here, and they flip the screen over to you.
Oh, tip. No.
Oh, what are we doing? Now you're making me look like a cheapskate. Well, and I tip on stuff I have no business tipping on.
I know. Like, I did it
come
last
on
night. I did
now.
It. I was like, you know what?
Come on. What are we doing? Why do I have to pay y'all salary? I'm doing it when I buy stuff. Why does it tip too? How about to people who own this company pay? Just, man, what?
Well, then
I'm waiting for season tickets for the, you know, what if Rockets had season tickets and they've got and Tillman sent something like, would you like to, you know, here's 15% extra on your season tickets. You know, throw a little something in there at the end. Would you like to tip here on this $25 on this $30 Coke and hamburger? No, I don't want to tip here.
Yeah.
Get ready for this, by the way. If you guys haven't seen, I don't think you've seen this yet. When the Texans start back up, I was at the soccer match the other day, and I was in the 300s. And you walk in. Now you have to scan your credit card before you walk in through the little turnstile.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And there's about eight cameras.
Baseball games all over the place.
Oh, is it already there at the baseball
games?
Yeah,
you scan. Well, there's some places. Yeah, you scan, and when you walk out, it just automatically charges your card. It knows what you took out with you.
Exactly. So, do they have that do they have it at Daikin now?
Yeah. Yes, they have it at Daikin. Yes.
Okay. I haven't gone this year. I'm taking the kids, so I didn't know that. That's interesting. Yeah, that's what it does. And so, you know what I tried to do? I tried to stack two hot dogs on top of each other to see if I got away with it. I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna go check my card to see if I'm trying to find a little kink in the system.
Trying to find a way to rip off Okay.
I'm trying to get them back. You know, they've been doing it to me for years. So you know what? Now it's time for us to fight
Guess
back
what?
Against the man.
Guess what? It knew you had two hot dogs. That's what it
I know.
Did.
It probably did. But yeah, I got real tight to it, so it couldn't see, and then I tried to stack them. So I got to check and see if it got me.
All right. 713-780-3776.
$150. Yep, got my two hot dogs for sure.
Hey, this weekend, we got all kinds of great sports going on. We also got great deals going on at Chastang Ford. If you're in the market for a vehicle, Chastang Ford is the place for me. It's been the place for me, and it's going to continue to be the place for me. I love what Chastang Ford does for me. I hope you look. If you've been there, you know it. You know what I'm talking about. If you've bought a vehicle from Chastang Ford, chances are you're buying another vehicle from Chastang Ford. Because Chastang Ford is going to give you it's the easiest car buying experience. To me, it was the best. To me, everything is transparent. What is the price of the car? Oh, wow, that's the price of the car when you pay. That's amazing. That is amazing. As opposed to, oh, well, we got this, we got that, we got this, 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 and we've got to add that on. And, oh, yeah, they're tinted. Oh, no, 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 no. We ain't doing all that. We ain't adding on. We ain't marking up. Not a Chastang Ford. We're giving employee pricing. We're getting you in, out of there. You can do it all online as opposed to the other places that won't let you do it all online because they got to mark up. They got to add on. They got to get you in there so they can upsell you. That ain't the way Chastang Ford goes about it. Love Chastang Ford. You'll love Chastang Ford, too. If you're looking for that SUV or pickup truck, I think there's only one place in the city. ChastangFord.com. At 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
Can I ask Chris you guys a controversial question?
No. Chris in the Woodlands is here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you say, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, Lance, and you guys are talking about this robo-ump thing. And while I get pissed whenever a bad call is made, man, I just, when we start letting things like this, like, creep in, I don't want it to get to where it's like, well, now we need the robo-ref in football and look at all the holding on the offensive line, and that guy could have sacked the quarterback. Or like, hey, 5 yards from the receiver is exactly the 40-yard line, and he held him at the 42, and so technically that should be defensive holding. Like, I just feel like it creeps in other stuff. And my other thing is, like, if these guys would – I'm not talking the umps, I'm talking the players – would do their job, like, so the guy missed a strike. What about the 17 batters prior to that the pitcher dealt with and they didn't get on base? Like, I don't know. I'm okay with, like, in the game, like in the NBA reviewing it, as long as it doesn't take an hour when there's 2 minutes left. I'm okay with some of those things. But when it starts getting like this, I feel like it opens the door. Basically, it's the fun, fair, positive people. It's the executives. It's those guys. I think if you ask old school managers and things like that, they don't care. Like, go out there and do your job, and good things will happen. So that's just my fear, that it's going to creep into other sports and ticky-tack stuff. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Would you guys have a problem with it? I think that, first of all, I think the craziest thing in the world is that soccer has VAR, which allows you to see goals from over the top, you know, is definitive in terms of goals. Well, it's used for different things, but in the NFL, we can't get things figured out in terms of spotting the ball necessarily. And especially near the goal line, they can't get good vantage points and camera angles near the goal line all the time. That's insane to me that there's that issue. I do wonder if we're ever going to have technology inside the ball. There are already chips. There's certain, I think it's Wilson. Who's the football? Is it Rawlings or no? It'd be Wilson, where they have had a thing where they can measure spin rate with a chip inside the football. So they have an active spin rate measure with footballs. But I don't know that it's used in game. I think you have to. From a story I was told by somebody with knowledge of, is that Drew Brees could tell which footballs had chips in them and which didn't when he was, you know, when they first came out and he was throwing them. Now, that would be insane if he had that level of touch where he could tell if a football had a chip in it. But I would think that that's coming next, where you have something that allows you to track the actual placement of the football so that
I do think that's eventually going to happen, where they will get very specific readings on where the football was, what the forward progress was, so that they'll have very specific placements of the football. I think that will eventually get here within the next 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and it should, though. It should, though. I mean, still using the chain gang, that same thing that they used in 1910 is kind
of,
I mean.
You are. You can't wait to get rid of, you can't wait to get rid of Jobs again. There's John, not a man of the people.
Somebody's going to be on a computer. Somebody smarter than a chain gang guy is going to be doing it. Okay, I know that's two jobs. Maybe it could be just one. Some guy.
Are the chain gang guys smart enough to do the computer jobs? No, blue collar jobs gone. Well, yeah. There's always plumbing.
Let's hire smarter people. Let's make the game smarter. Okay, let's do that.
That's what PFF's trying to do, John.
Nothing against like chain gang guys and how smart they are, but all right, it's not a brain surgery job, okay?
They just do that on the weekends. They probably have jobs.
Yeah, they've got real jobs.
Real intelligence.
Well, there you go. Then they don't need this job.
Or
yeah, how about a little side hustle to help pay their bills? And you're trying to take that away from the man?
Actually, when I was on the sidelines with the Texans, I knew Mike. You know, Big Mike. He was on the sidelines all the time. Yeah. Good guy.
But he really wasn't a chain gang guy, though, was he?
How smart was he?
He was real smart. Well, he was an Ohio. He's an Ohio State fan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, those people aren't that bright. They're not good people anyway. Maybe they're smart.
Yeah, I don't know if they're dumb.
They're a rough people.
Yeah. They're not just – oh, yeah. He got pissed off one time.
He was mad at me about something.
I don't want to get that guy. I don't think he got mad at me. I forget what he got mad about, but I was like, ooh.
No. He was mad at me on my – I think he said something on my blog. I don't know. He was mad about a football opinion.
That was what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, he was real mad about a football opinion I had. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even anything serious. Like, I didn't even know he was mad. I don't even know what he was mad about.
That's right. What are you even mad about? That was it. I was like, ooh. And then I saw him on the sidelines, and he's like, you tell that Zerline what? Oh my
yeah,
God.
I'm like, I don't even know. I think he was mad about something I said on a blog about football, but then I probably said something about Ohio State maybe, but then I saw him again. He was good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't piss off Big Mike, I'll tell you that.
No. Don't piss off Ohio State fans in general.
He'll throw a beer can at your head.
Oh, well, I don't want that.
No.
Well, better than a bottle.
That's what Ohio State fan does. That's what they do.
Better than a beer bottle. So here's the. Now we got to break it. I'm going to ask you a super, super, explosive question on the other side. It's a very controversial question. It's an explosive question, and I'll ask it in 4 minutes.
Okay. But first, let's talk about GimmeTheVIN.com. Already the best place to sell your car. Now it's even better. GimmeTheVIN.com has got a big cash giveaway going on. GimmeTheVIN.com is giving away $25,000 in cash every month. You get 1,000 chances to win if they buy your car. Okay? Sell GimmeTheVIN.com your car, and you will have 1,000 chances in the hopper for $25,000 in cash. Okay? Or a piece of $25,000 in cash. I think they split it up. But they're giving away a total of $25,000 a month. For more details, go to their website, GimmeTheVIN.com. So, in other words, you could sell your car to them, all right, and make money, more money than you would get selling your car to someone else. So you're making money there. And then you got a chance at whatever piece of $25,000. On top of it, you got a really good chance because you got 1,000 chances in the hopper. That's awesome. So if you're looking to sell your car, I mean, how much more could you, if you win on this thing, not only do you sell your car for more money, but you also got a chance to pick up a lot more. So that is awesome. You're looking for the best way to sell your car, GimmeTheVIN.com. It's easy. You put in your license plate or your VIN number. In minutes, you get they tell you what your car is worth. It's America's best car buyer, and they're giving away money. GimmeTheVIN.com.
ESPN Houston on social media, @ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.